Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful and delightful Southern California. Let me ask you this. Do you have fears that you can't explain the reason behind them? What about some phobia that you've had since birth, like absolute fear of heights or fear of people or even fear of bees? Well, we just may have some answers for you tonight about those fears. We have Ansley McLeod with us tonight talking about his latest book, The Transformation, Healing Your Past Lives to Realize Your Soul's Potential. Now, many of you remember Ansley McLeod as the psychic and featured teacher on Oprah's Soul series. So get ready for a fantastic show on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Do you live in Los Angeles? Well, the Law of Attraction Radio Network is coming your way in person with interactive workshops on October 29th through the 31st. If you want amazing healing or to communicate with a loved one that has passed, or to be hypnotized to release your financial blocks, or to understand the energetics behind finding and keeping your soulmate, or to receive insightful and personal messages from non-physical entities known as Tarot, or to simply gain more information about applying the Law of Attraction in your life, then this is the place for you to be. Sign up for just one workshop or all of them. If you have issues with love, money, health, or well-being, then come meet us for some incredible interaction. Go to loaradionetwork.com and visit the workshop page where you can purchase the tickets right from there, October 29th through the 31st. We'll see you there. Okay, we're back, and I want to follow up on this fabulous Awakening Consciousness Workshop Series that we are starting in Los Angeles. It's going to be so much fun and full of incredible information that you can actually put to work immediately. I am going to be sharing all kinds of information about manifestation, especially around money. But in order to help you to manifest, we've got to release all those beliefs and thoughts that you have accumulated. So I will be bringing people up to talk about those blocks that affect them and giving them practical and easy techniques to begin creating immediately. And then we are going to be doing a highly energized group hypnosis session where we're going to hit the reset button on your subconscious to become that magnificent creator that you came here to be. Wow, this is going to be so much fun. And you know, it doesn't stop with me either, because we have magnificent energy healer Amin Hameen delivering a powerful energetic session, which amps us up to become healers as we jumpstart our own healing. And then there's Marilyn Kapp, who talks with our loved ones or ancestors that have passed to deliver personal messages of encouragement or assist us in releasing past life issues that we brought forward with us. And this is exciting. How would you like to speak and get answers from Tarot? Many of you have experienced the insights of Tarot on our own network, but now you can come and talk directly to these channeled entities that are of the same energy as Abraham. And finally, I am thrilled to announce that we have internationally known and mainstream media favorite dating expert David Wigand joining us, along with our friend from Match Matrix, Larry Michael. You will absolutely walk away understanding and ready to apply all you learned about seeking, finding and keeping the love of your life. And it just doesn't stop there. David and Larry actually teaches you how to improve your relationship with your parents, siblings, and even bosses. This is incredible information that will improve every area of your life. So what are you waiting for? Get your tickets today and receive the discount. You could buy one workshop or you can get them all. It's up to you. Just take the action to improve your life right now. And one last thing, I want to let you know that David Weigand is starting his brand new show on Law of Attraction Radio Network starting October 7th. I'm sure you have seen David on E!, Inside Edition, Dateline, ABC News, CBS, The Early Show, Fox News, MTV, and The Learning Channel, and many print articles in magazines and newspapers all over the world. If you have questions about dating or about love, what to do and what you shouldn't do, the heart issues over head issues, then tune in to this incredible show. It's called The David Weigand Show. And also starting on October 7th, Jeremiah LeBlanc with Empowered Success. Okay, you feel down and out or just need to be motivated in the right direction? Well, you must tune in to this dynamic show in which you are going to be uplifted and inspired to go beyond your self-imposed limits. You can hear Jeremiah every Thursday on Law of Attraction Radio Network. Okay, let's get on with tonight's show with Anjali McLeod. As I mentioned, Anjali has used his talent as a psychic to explore the soul and its effect on human beliefs and behavior for more than a decade. The author of The Instruction, Anjali was a featured teacher on Oprah's Soul series. Currently, he teaches at the Omega Institute and Kripalu. Originally from Aberdeen, Scotland, he now offers guidances to clients worldwide from his home in Pacific Northwest. If you are surfing the net as you're listening to this interview, go to soul-world.com to see and purchase his books, which I highly recommend. Welcome, Anjali, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, first, I must say, I absolutely loved the book, The Transformation. And what I really liked about it is how you brought history in it to teach us about karma, to teach us about how past lives can affect us in future lives. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, and there's something really karmic about it, and, you know, trying to remind people that what happens in the past impacts the present.
Could you please share with everyone what is the transformation that you're referring to in your book?
Well, the transformation that I'm talking about happens on two levels. The more personal level is about what happens to us as our souls shift their consciousness as we grow. This is something I discuss in there. Now, this is happening to all humans over a period of time. So it's about creating this personal transformation, which has so much to do with overcoming blocks and barriers, fears, phobias, and so on from the past. And the other level of the transformation is what's really happening globally and how, as each individual shifts in consciousness, they affect the whole, you know, sort of pool of consciousness. And so every little bit starts to make a difference.
Would you say the transformation is speeding up at a rapid pace right now? As we could say that there's a shift in consciousness by the year 2012?
Absolutely. It's really picking up momentum. And what we're seeing, if you look globally, I mean, it looks like we live in traumatic times. There's conflict, there's wars, there's torture, there's all this awful stuff happening, but there is, within all that, there are communities coming together, individuals bonding together and starting to really make a change in the world, cooperating with each other, learning the importance of respect and justice and so on. So it's like a groundswell going on. And there's also a kind of opposite reaction going on. There's a lot of fear amongst younger souls and those more kind of enthralled to the illusion, as it's sometimes put. They're afraid of the changes that are happening. Mm-hmm. It's an unsettling time, so they tend to, you know, you can see it in this country and others where there's a clampdown on civil liberties and you know, Big Brother and so on. And it's a fear-based response to the changes that are going on.
And as I read from your book, a lot of this fear stems from past lives. But you also mention a lot of karmic things that have happened, such as Harry Truman and dropping the atomic bomb. Let's go into that a little bit. It's absolutely fascinating.
What you're referring to there is how Harry Truman dropped two bombs on Japan and how that creates a huge karmic debt that will be paid off in future lifetimes. But you can't do something like that without creating a huge imbalance and without there being some huge lessons that your soul will want to learn over the next many lifetimes. Yeah, I talked about how Harry Truman was shortly after that time was a young girl in a heavily polluted part of Russia who ended up dying from strontium 90 poisoning. You know, dying of radiation poisoning, that's a lot of people would have done or did in Japan. It's not a punishment, by the way, and I always stress this, that it's not that somehow the universe conspires to torture you because you tortured somebody. It doesn't work like that. But your soul, you make these choices yourself, and your soul will choose to experience what you've inflicted on other people. Well, what would it be like? You know, I've done this, now what would it be like to be on the other end of the stick? And it, you know, eventually your soul learns that this is no way for civilized beings to behave.
Okay, so the person who initiated those acts of destruction will suffer the karmic reactions. But what about those who were actually the victims of that? Will they be coming back with fear from that event?
They would be coming back with death-related fears. If you've had any kind of sudden death, I mean, particularly in war, battle, there's a lot of aggression, a lot of noise, a lot of trauma, you will have a fear of death. And the death-related fear, a way that you overcome this, this is something I go into in the transformation, is through motivations. And your soul kind of throws out the motivation and saying, look, I want you to help me here to get over this fear. In this case, it's all about nonviolence. And so people who have experienced that will come back with a much greater sense of the importance of nonviolence and actually standing up for peace, to act actively, be involved in peace. And this is one thing, as more and more conflicts erupt, more and more people will come back in future lifetimes with a greater awareness of the folly of war. And that's actually going to help ultimately to eradicate this kind of behavior.
Fascinating. So how can we tell if we have a past life fear?
Well, there are each past life fear, there are 10 in all, can be identified by how it manifests in you. They call them resonances. I use the term symptoms. But you can see in people, I'm dealing with this every day, common ones are, a fear of loss. If you've lost everything in a previous lifetime, it could be those nearest and dearest to you, or you've lost your home, or you lost everything in a war. You will end up with a fear of loss. And how that manifests is that you have a lack of certainty about tomorrow just following today. You'll also see symptoms like a reluctance to get attached to people or material belongings. One of the strongest symptoms there is you'll find that people have homes that look kind of minimal. They don't have stuff, and if they do accumulate things, they clear out the clutter every 3 months. They don't feel comfortable. The soul level feeling is the less I have to lose. So skirt bushes all the time, with as long as that fear exists, to, you know, clear out the stuff, because I feel much better when there's little going on. I spoke to a client a while back, and she just asked me at the end of the session, she said, is there anything you can tell me about my son? Now, this is a guy in his 30s. And just the first and only thing we had time to talk about was a huge fear of loss. And when I said to her, he's something of a minimalist. She said, he is a total minimalist. And when he was a very small child, he said, don't give me Christmas presents. I don't want anything. And he's still the same way. It's a very strong example of how the soul feels, I don't want to get attached to anything here.
Oh, my goodness. What are some of the other signs?
A fear of authority, if you've been abused by authority in a previous lifetime, maybe in a trial, you know, court of law. In fact, I came across this with somebody this morning, the classic situation, in a previous lifetime, you know, forced in front of a court and sentenced to a long prison sentence. So this has created a fear of authority. The most common way that manifests, I think, is anxiety when you encounter a police officer or somebody in uniform. You know, I've had clients tell me, one told me about, she said, I burst into tears every time I'm pulled over by a police officer. Going to your superiors for a raise, that can be anxiety-provoking if you have fear of authority. The problem is you, because of the experience, you don't recognize those people as equals. You forget that they're just souls like you. And just because they have, you know, letters after their name or some kind of position in a company doesn't make them inherently any better or worse. And so there's a lesson here about learning to identify with other souls and recognize the common humanity. And one aspect of that, and you see this as a result of the identification, is that people with a fear of authority will also have a very strong desire or need to support the underdog. They mm-hmm. identify with the underdog. And what happens there is when they see somebody who's suffering, and it might be somebody who's homeless or down on their luck in some way, that their soul reminds them. The soul kind of says, look, remember, we were like this once. And it's actually a way of motivating you to kind of do something. You put your hand in your pocket or get involved with a charitable organization or something like that.
That may explain why I have to give that homeless person on the street a dollar or two. I have to. I have no choice in the matter. It's just a strong sense that I have to do this.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay, evidently we have accumulated many fears previous lives. How do we go about getting rid of those fears once they surface up? I mean, they're very unpleasant.
Well, the way that you overcome any past life fear, at least the fastest way, is to find out what caused the fear in the first place. And that can be done through past life regression. In my work, what I do is it's all one-on-one. So rather than doing regression, I tell somebody, you know, what I'm getting about their past life. And as I'm talking to them, what will happen is it feels as if the soul is getting it. The person's listening, but the soul's going, oh, right, so that's a past life. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to hold on to these fears. There's this strange thing, and I've been asked numerous times, isn't your soul smart enough to know that it was a past life and not the present? And the answer is it's not a question of being smart, but it really has difficulty separating out one life from the next. It doesn't die, obviously, between lifetimes. So your soul is conscious from life number one to life 100 and whatever. So it holds these experiences, these traumas in it, in the way that you would remember experiences, you know, traumatic experiences like being bitten by a dog when you were 5 years old. You know, you might still have anxiety at this stage. So that's one way to overcome, is to go into the past life itself. And that often is all that it needs. You know, I'll tell somebody about a past life, and off they go, and the next time I hear from them, they say, you know, you won't believe it, but I've completely overcome my fear of whatever it might be, you know, drowning or all manner of things, and even physical ailments as well, you know, because you can hold these resonances in your body as well. So I'll find that sometimes I'm talking to somebody and they've got joint pains that will be related to a past life in which they had a leg injury, say. And you'll find that that sort of thing starts to really heal and improve after just simply understanding what happened in that life. There are other techniques. There are ways that you can actually use the book. You don't have to go into a past life. You can identify the fear by the resonance or resonances, and then you can use certain techniques. I'll give you an example,
if you'd like, of how
this works. One is there's a fear of inferiority. It comes from having had a life that you lived really according to somebody else's dictates, where you were kind of controlled. It's often arranged marriages, very controlling parents, being a servant, never really getting a chance to live the life that your soul meant you to live in that incarnation. And what will then happen in this life is that you will find that in times of stress, particularly, a person with a fear of inferiority will go into that place of submission. They have a tendency to become, maybe play the victim role, become submissive, or be codependent. You can see it sometimes. It can be highlighted if there's conflict, if there's an argument, say, and that person will back down. It's like they'll take the submissive role. And what's happening is that with that sudden hit of stress, they go immediately back into how they were in that traumatic past life. They're reminded of the position that they had then. And, you know, I've talked to people so often about this, and one common thing that's recognized is that afterwards you wonder, well, how did I get like this? How come I couldn't stand up for myself? And as long as that fear's there, it becomes your default mode. You kind of, you know, go into that submissive place. So there's an exercise associated with that, and it's designed to build your self-determination, which ultimately builds your self-respect. And it's wonderfully circular, because you build your self-determination, you gain self-respect. The more self-respect you have, the easier it is to exercise your self-determination. And so that involves, the exercise would involve things like setting goals, starting to really take control of your life. And when people get over that fear of inferiority, it's very satisfying, because you see that they suddenly recognize that they can do anything with their lives. That there's it opens people up to their whole potential. It's like if you can dream it, you can create it.
Mm-hmm.
And the exercise starts with very small goals, and then you just keep building over time. You do them on different levels. And, you know, before you know it, I mean, maybe to begin with, it's pretty hard to make, to set goals and follow them through. But, you know, you do that for a while, and then you can handle anything. You can make the goals bigger and bigger over time until nothing will faze you.
I have noticed that 99.999% of people all have self-esteem issues. Is that a result of maybe 10,000 lives ago or 20,000 lives ago? Is that an accumulation of past lives?
There's a couple of things there. We do tend to, naturally, as we go through our lives, things are dealt with, fears are overcome just as you go through your lives. Most of the lifetimes that I look at in my work, the ones that are having a bearing on us, are not from thousands of years ago. They're from maybe 100 years ago or 50 years ago. Maybe, you know, I was looking at one today that was back in the 1700s, and that's actually going back quite a while. I think I've had one about, one of my own ones was about 9th century, and that's really kind of going back. Usually those lifetimes don't still have an impact on you. So mostly when I'm looking at a person's past life, and you can see this from the transformation, I would think they're mostly within the last 200, 250 years, the ones that are you know, still having a big impact.
Well, this begs the question, what's the purpose of having past lives? I mean, do we ever complete our mission? Do we ever learn enough that we can stop coming back? I mean, what's the scoop?
We do eventually get to a point where there's nothing much more to be learned. It doesn't mean that we're perfect or anything like that, but we're certainly more perfect than we maybe were when we started. But yeah, most of us have something around 120, 130 lifetimes in all at 10 different stages. And I talk about this in my first book in the instruction about how there's 10 soul ages, 10 phases that we go through. And that pretty much takes care of everything that we need to do on the physical plane. And once that's over, we go over to the astral plane. We end up becoming spirit guides, you know, taking on a different role. One interesting thing about what's happening with the transformation and the changes that are going on is that the lessons that are associated with this used to be something that we only went through on the astral plane. There wasn't sufficient opportunity to deal with these things on the physical plane, so it would be part of that astral experience. And now that's becoming more part of the physical plane experience. And this is about really learning the big goals that the soul is seeking from its experience, you know, why it would come here. I mean, every life has a purpose, and you can identify that. In fact, that's very much the focus of the instruction. But every life has this higher purpose. Your soul is continually edging towards its highest goals, and they are equality, you know, learning that we're all equal, cooperation, working together, respect, respecting yourself, respecting others, justice, knowledge, separating out knowledge from supposition, belief, and so on, understanding, really developing empathy, truth, so you live your life totally honestly, freedom, learning about using freedom responsibly, peace, which I touched on before, and love. So there's 10 major goals. So in every lifetime, that's what your soul is nudging towards. And now with the transformation, this is taking on even greater importance.
Going back to Harry Truman, can you tell us about what karma the U.S. is going through right now because of that decision made by Harry Truman?
Yeah, there is individual karma, and there is a form of karma. It's an area that I haven't gone into much detail about yet. I'll probably write about this sometime in the future. But yes, you can't be a part of a culture or a nation without being somehow wrapped up in the in this. The way to avoid as much in the way of negative karma dragging around is to actually focus on achieving those goals. Because if you're continually acting from a place of love, peace, truth, understanding, and so on, you're always doing the right thing. And it's when people are not doing that, when they're acting out of a place of greed and self-interest and aggression and so on, then that's where you get so much karma being created.
So there will be long-reaching ramifications from the 9/11 attacks, not only from the attackers, but from those people who perished in the attack. They will probably be coming back with some major fears.
Well, there will certainly be fears, though. They'll be, as we all do, you know, we carry forward the experience. Again, that falls into that that area connected with traumatic death, mm-hmm. violent death. So it will those people who might well have been very peace loving anyway will certainly come back with a heightened sense of the importance. The reason I get that is so much to do with your soul's desire to be able to live out its life without that risk of it ending traumatically or suddenly, prematurely because of aggression. So, yeah. And the karmic consequences of what happened 9/11 is is just huge because of how the country has then used that as a pretext, or one of the pretexts for really unlimited war.
That's right, because the attacks led to war, which in effect suffered more losses, more deaths because of the original attack. Interesting. You know, what I find so fascinating and very profound is that you're saying these events are actually helping us to bring more peace into the world because we are choosing a different form in our next lives. So eventually, we are going to get to the place where there's peace on earth. That's great to know.
One of the examples that I use in the book is, if you look at an organization like Amnesty International, you'll find that most of the people who are actively involved will have been tortured and imprisoned in a previous lifetime. And that's why they have such a strong motivation to help people who are like that. And this is a very significant karmic healing thing, because if you discover that you've been tortured and imprisoned, working for Amnesty International will help to heal you and help others. And it's healing yourself by helping others is how the guides will put that. It's karmic. Everybody benefits. And my spirit guides talked to me a few years ago about what, you know, if they said hypothetically, what if you were a prisoner in Egypt in a cell where you can hardly see any light and you're there year after year. What would you want somebody in the outside world to do? And I said, well, you know, at least remember who I am, or, you know, do something. And they said, yeah, you would want something. And I didn't realize until quite long after that I actually had a past life in which that happened. And it's given me a very heightened sense of you know, awareness of the injustice of the penal system, and how, you know, appalling it is to just throw people in jail for such long sentences, the kind of things you do get in this country, you know, basically throwing away the key, you know, giving somebody no hope. And, you know, it has motivated me. In fact, what the guide said motivated me to renew my membership of Amnesty International. But this applies to so many experiences. One that I come across quite a lot, twice this week, is somebody who's been abused as a child in a previous lifetime. And now they have very strong desire to do something that helps children, you know, particularly victims of abuse and abandonment and so on. So it's like you have an experience and you'll heal yourself through helping people who are going through what you did.
Interesting. This is so fascinating. So let me ask, when you come into a current life, do you have a contract of what you're supposed to be accomplishing, or can you break that contract? Can you go another way?
You come in with a life plan, which is a kind of rough blueprint. It's actually quite a complex arrangement. I break it down in the instruction to show some of the major elements of that life plan that you create, which has to do with you choose your personality, for example, and many of the experiences that you want to have. But you also choose people you're going to be around. You choose your parents and they choose you. It's all done by agreement. And people that you will run into the future. But you can look at anybody's life plan and determine, you know, who they are, what it is they're doing here, which, again, like I say, is a big focus of the instruction. But yes, it's a, you know, everybody's got a life plan. We come in with it. The problem is, it's almost like as soon as you get here, everybody tries to take you off it. You know, classic thing I came across yesterday is, in fact, this is something that happens. It happened to a woman in this life, but it happens to guys in another way. The two most common things are you get this gentle guy comes into, a little boy comes into this world, and he's told to toughen up. And then in this case, yesterday, I was talking to somebody who was a little girl who was kind of tough, and choosing this for the work that she'd be doing in adulthood, but was encouraged or coerced or forced to be, you know, to play this role of the meek, gentle daughter. So parents, teachers, you know, God bless them all, but they can really interfere with your life plan. And so when I meet people, most of my clients are somewhere between 35 and 45. A big part of what I do is just try to get them back onto the track. You know, most people are not too far away, but some people have drifted well away, you know. And it can so often be traced back to parental expectations. You know, like the child comes into this world to be an artist, and the parents go, oh, you're so smart, you've got to be a doctor. And the next thing, they're wondering, what the hell am I doing here? And that's why I get them around that age where they're going, okay, I've done this for a few years, but this is not working. Now, where do I go from here?
You know, I've got some people in my life that I would choose not to come back and associate with again. Is that possible? Can we be free, or do we have to go back and go relearn it till we are in a better place where we want to be together?
Well, it's an interesting thing. We do repeat experiences if we haven't got the right solution. I came across this a couple of times. One of the stories I put in the transformation was about someone, a woman in this life who was a woman in a previous lifetime, who ended up being dragged off from Britain to Africa as a missionary, or at least her father was a missionary. And he controlled this young girl's life. You know, he said, you have to be a teacher. And this was the past life. Fear of inferiority that I talked about before. So this person has been dragging around these issues with inferiority, feeling lesser, and so on. But we looked at this past life and how she ended up in an abusive relationship and in a job as a teacher that she hated. And afterwards I said, well, you know, how does this relate to the present life? And she said, well, you know, you could be describing my present life. And it turned out that the father in the past life is the same one that she's got now, and he had even told her to be a teacher as well. Now, it looks hilarious. It's like, you know, and this happens frequently. You know, people go, well, why am I going through the same thing? And very simply, you're setting up very similar experiences, but your soul is looking for you to find a different answer. And in this case of this person with a fear of inferiority, it is to not allow yourself to be the victim or take this submissive role, but get strong, develop that self-determination, and live your own life.
Oh, wow, this makes so much sense. I am loving this. In your book, The Transformation, you talk about stage four consciousness, the next evolutionary step for our souls. Let's talk about this.
Well, first of all, there was a shift 55,000 years ago, approximately, from stage two to stage three consciousness. And that's really what took us from being like, you know, well, at least more like the other primates, and really gave us that edge. You know, it was at that point that we really started to get on the track to where we are now. We were able to sort of really develop creativity, to use our brains more effectively, more rational thought, and so on. And this is where we've ended up. Now, what's happening now is that we're going through this shift from stage three to stage four. And stage four consciousness is that part that I was talking about that used to only be experienced on the astral plane. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to become part of our physical plane experience. And so what we're going through here is this growth in consciousness that's going to take us more easily to those higher goals that I talked about, freedom, peace, love, truth, understanding, so that we can really embody those. Now, it's going to create a big shift on this planet, because not everybody's going to go through this at the same time. Now, young souls will go through it, old souls will go through it, but it's going to look kind of different depending on the amount of experience that you have. There's going to be a lot of confusion for a lot of souls, but it's the older souls that are going to kind of lead the way. You can see it right now in what you do with the law of attraction. I mean, I'm really not sure there would have been a place for the law of attraction 25, 30 years ago.
That's correct.
But with this shift in consciousness. You'll find more and more people are getting interested in this kind of thing and speaking to them. They're looking for something more meaningful, something more purposeful, something where they can contribute the growing sense of spirituality, a growing awareness of the difference between religion and spirituality, that they're not the same thing, and people are looking for that much more personal, taking a more personal journey.
Yes, I've noticed that people are resonating with the fact that they are powerful human beings, that they have the power to create anything, and that they're not victims.
Absolutely, and we will do. A very big part of the message that I get from the other side is all about self-empowerment, self-determination, about free will, you know, and so that's a big part of this, the big part that will change. And that's going to change institutions as well, because as more and more people are going, well, wait a minute, who are you to be telling me what to do? And, you know, hang on there, I'll think this one out for myself. It's going to change a lot of things.
I'm amazed that I can stand up to the medical profession and take everything that they say or suggest with a grain of salt.
I have more doctor clients than any other profession for various reasons, which I could explain. But it's really intriguing to see how these old soul doctors are starting to bring in alternative practices or even to use them themselves. One of them found out about me through his acupuncturist. You know, he's a very scientifically trained person, but when it comes to treating his own body, he'll go for alternative therapies. You know, I have one that I mentioned in my first book who's brought craniosacral into the delivery room, and there's another one who's bringing an alternative pain medicine and so on. So these are older souls who are They're part of this transformation. They're playing leadership roles in the transformation, starting to make a big difference. So yeah, as far as Western medicine goes, I think that's a place where we're really going to see some big changes. You know, I said it kind of jokingly, but I mean, I'm kind of serious here, that there might be a day when you go to the doctor's office and there'll be a psychic in the corner to help you with the past life aspect of whatever's ailing you.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about many of these things in the transformation, how, you know, in one case, a young woman who became pregnant after uncovering what happened in a previous lifetime. I mean, the past lives affect us in so many ways, I mean, ways that people are not aware of.
Now, we've had a lot of guests on who saying that it's time for the women and the children to come up and to take leadership roles. And I think we're seeing this just in our politics. I mean, all of the women who are coming to play now. Are you seeing this same thing? Is this what you're being told?
What's happening there is that there's a thing called the illusion. The illusion really came upon us in the last 10,000-12,000 years. It's as we started to build artificial hierarchies and so on. Up until that point, we lived in a tribe where people had their strengths and weaknesses. Those were recognized. And those who truly had leadership skills would become leaders. Those who hunted would hunt. Those who were there to nurture children would do just that. And that started to change a lot when we went from the hunter-gatherer societies into building cities and so on. And then we had people who were motivated by greed and so on. They weren't the best person for the job, but they would start taking over and corrupting the system. And it's really gotten to a crazy stage now. But one of the things that when you're caught up in the illusion, you can see huge differences rather than huge similarities. And so when you're caught up in the illusion, you see huge differences in genders, for example, or skin color, or you know, who you make love to or who you worship, and that sort of thing. So this is something that will happen with the transformation, is greater equality between the genders, you know, and that's not going to change. So it's not going to stop happening.
Well, that's good to know. Perhaps we'll even see our first woman president soon.
Yes, I hope so.
Me too. I'm looking for a very peaceful world that I think only women can usher it in.
Absolutely.
Wow. You know, this is just magnificent information, and it's really uplifting because it gives me hope, you know, and it gives me the reason to see why past lives are so important, that we keep on coming back to bring about this peace. So I want everyone to go to soul-world.com and check out his books. Don't forget the instruction and the transformation. I think these two books go hand in hand. And while you're browsing soul-world.com, check out all of the information there. It is so informative. Go get those books. I highly recommend it.
And if I could just tell you that in the transformation, I have roughly 40 client stories in there of people who've gone through past lives and healed from, you know, all manner of things. And almost all of them are available to discuss their experiences on a forum, which is called pastlifetalk.com.
Mm.
You can actually read the book and go and talk to people about fears you recognize and so on.
Well, that forum sounds like a lot of fun. But bottom line, if you read the transformation, you're going to find enough information out where you can start identifying what your fears are, even though you may not know what your past life was about. And the transformation book has all of these exercises that you can do in order to relieve and gain control of your past life issues. Having said that, I would still think it would be to everyone's advantage to go find a psychic in which they could tell them what happened, what are the core reasons for these particular fears that are blocking them from going forward in their lives.
I think so. You know, I'm very booked up, so the book is a, you know, it will certainly help in people waiting for a session.
So then let me ask you, how do you choose the right psychic or the medium? How do you know that they're good?
Yeah, that's a good point. I would, you know, if I was choosing a psychic, I would say check out other people, you know, ask what other people's experiences have been. I have a testimonials page on my website. I really think using your intuition along with your intellect is the way, you know. And also, is the information helpful? Is it stuff that you can actually practically use in your life? And does it resonate with you? And does that person kind of talk the same language, or is it kind of esoteric?
Yeah.
Stuff that you just can't make sense of.
Okay, so when a client comes to you, they are simply mentioning their fear, and you are able to pick up on that and decipher their past life and to get down to the nitty-gritty issue, right?
Well, funnily enough, because I'm still working through a huge backlog of requests for sessions, most of the people I'm still working my way through came to me after I wrote the instruction. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't this big focus on past lives. Fears there. So they're more coming to me to figure out their life's purpose. And then it's in the course of that work, what will happen is I'll tell them about a past life, and then I'll discover that they have a, you know, I'll say to somebody, as I did yesterday, do you have a fear of drowning? And this person goes, oh my God, yeah, and then goes into a, you know, huge tale of how she'd been on a cruise and had the most miserable experience of her life. And then we'll look at the source and figure out how to overcome the fears that are impacting the current life.
Wow.
So it's not so much a case right now of people coming to me and saying, oh, I've got this huge phobia, and can you fix it? It much more comes up as a result of the work that we're doing. That will probably change as I mm-hmm. start to work with more people who are coming to me through the transformation.
But Let me remind everyone that they could get even more information by reading the transformation, because it has story after story that you can identify with and take all of that information, plus those exercises, and really come out swinging.
Absolutely. I mean, it will help you to identify the fear, figure out the motivation, which is the cure, and then you overcome it. It's by overcoming the fear that you get taken to this goal, your soul's higher purpose that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. It's like a real fast track to transformation, if you like. I mean, it's not the only way, but it's a very, very fast and effective way of doing that. And I really have tremendous feedback from people who have used these techniques, and they'll say to me, I have absolutely no fears now. They're achieving remarkable things. They're going off and setting up the business they'd always talked about or something like that. They're just making big changes in their lives.
So your attitudes about lack of money, your attitudes about being dominated in the workforce, your attitude about success could very well be stemming from a past life.
Certainly. I mean, you can definitely get that. I've worked with people who can't spend money. They don't want to spread it around, and when you go into it, it'll turn out to be a past life experience. Most often it'll be something where they slid from wealth into poverty. Not so much that they would be born in poverty, but they would know the difference. So they experience that terrible loss and suddenly they have nothing, and then in this life they become misers, and they're unable to spend money because they feel that anything could happen. It again goes back to that past life fear of loss that I talked about. Younger souls, or those really more in soul to the illusion, will tend to respond through greed. It's like a feeling that they never have enough, no matter how much they earn. And you can see that in how there's a big difference between how much wealthy people give to charity and how much poor people give to charity. And poor people give a heck of a lot more to charity than the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the more you actually accumulate, the more you then suddenly you've got something to fear losing. But, and of course, the one thing I haven't mentioned is that every past life fear has a trigger. Something will happen in this life. You could be going merrily through your life without any problems, and then it's like you hit a landmine in the form of a trigger, and the next thing you've got this huge past life fear. A very common one is betrayal, and if you've been betrayed, it's any kind of betrayal of trust that's had a traumatic outcome in a previous lifetime will create a past life fear of betrayal, and that you might even be totally unaware that you have it. And then your spouse cheats on you, and you go crazy, you go ballistic. And it's because it's a reminder to your soul of something terrible that's happened before. And your soul's going, oh, my God, the last time this happened, we were imprisoned and executed. So it goes into this state of emergency. Every fear has some way of overcoming it.
And that's the bottom line. There is no fear big enough that you can't overcome. You have the power to overcome all the fears and to move forward in your life fearless. Well, we are running out of time, and I wish we weren't, because this is so fascinating. Really great information. I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing all of this with us.
Thank you so much. It's been my absolute pleasure.
And I am going to be anxiously waiting for your new book coming out. When do you think that will be?
The next book. That's something I'm trying to get my head around. It's always a collaboration. I work with spirit guides, so I have to go on time. Yes, absolutely. So we're working through this right now. We're getting the basic concepts down.
Well, please keep me posted on it, because I want to have you back so that we can even give more information to all the listeners. What a treat. Okay, Well, we have got about 5 minutes left, and for those who would like to do some energy work, let's get to it. Simply take a deep breath in and let it all out. Just let it go. Just stop thinking about all the day-to-day distractions. You can pick it up later, but for right now, in these next few moments, just let go. Let go completely. Take another deep breath in and relax. Let it go. And as you're breathing in another deep breath, I want you to see your energy field about 6 inches out, just surrounding your entire body. And let a color come to your mind. Just picture it. What is the color that is dominating your thoughts right now? Good. Wonderful. Now I want you to see all of this energy flowing around and through your body, extending out from about 6 inches out to about 12 inches. Take a deep breath as this energizes your entire aura field. Take another deep breath. Breathe. And as you're breathing, realize that your breath is the divine essence of God, allowing this breath to come in and bring in that incredible, awesome energy of pure love and joy. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Feel the unconditional love and feel angels wrapping their wings around you, making you feel so safe and so secure. Nothing in this world will harm you. You are the master creator. Now bring that issue to mind right now. Bring it up. Bring up that issue that has been bothering you. Take a deep breath. Allow the angels and God to completely surround this issue, letting the wonderful, colorful aura vibration to surround this issue. And now, let it go. Let it go. Just let it go and let it be. Know that the divine presence will take care of everything. Just turn it over. It's something you don't need to worry about. Be confident, be secure, and know that everything, I guarantee it, everything will work out perfectly. Good. Take another deep breath and just feel this incredible love overcome you. Let the essence of God flow through you, through your breath. Breathe in deep and then let it go. Allow the divine essence to come in and to fill your heart and to fill your soul with love, peace, and gratitude, for this is what you truly deserve. Nothing but the best. It's all yours. Wonderful. Well done. Okay. Thank you so much for being with us this week. And remember that every action that you take will be reflected back to you. So make it a pure, joyful, outstanding week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.